to every once in a while, and this time was provided by my aunt's funeral, and it's a sad time, but at the same time, it's a great time to come together as a family and then reminisce and remind ourselves of all the great times that we had with our aunt. And so, as Hank said earlier, we all have a destination that we're going to, and I noticed that people leave my life and go to heaven, whether it was my dad 4 years ago or now his sister, our aunt, it brings heaven that much closer. And there's like just a little bit more of a reality that there's truly something waiting for us. And it's not just what's here and now, but something that we can truly look forward to. My wife, Ruth, and I, we've been living in Japan now for almost 2 years. And this church has supported us in the past in missions, and we were in Thailand for 12 years. And some years ago, when we were still in Thailand, we felt that God was closing the door on Thailand for some reason. And then in our hearts, there started to come up this feeling that for some reason, Japan keeps coming up. And originally, we weren't sure whether it was for us to be a catalyst and to really encourage others to go, or whether it was us to answer to the call and go ourselves. But then, long story short, now we've been there for almost 2 years, and going there at the age of over 40 and learning a new language, which is among the top most difficult languages to learn, it wasn't an easy decision. Even though we were excited about Japan, at the same time, knowing to go to a new culture, new language, it wasn't an easy decision, but we've really been thankful for this past 2 years that we've been there. And although it's a very slippery mountain to climb, the language, the culture, all of that, we feel that God has really been with us. And we've had the privilege of getting to know lots of Japanese people who are mostly our age or a little bit older. And it's been a great process of learning culture and learning it directly from Japanese people who are already professionals in their own trade and so on. And so we've just been really thankful that God has opened doors to meet people, spend time with them, and essentially all of that creates opportunity to then reflect what Christ has done in our lives, and when occasion arises, to also share what God has done in our lives. So we thank you for your prayers. And if you continue to pray for us, we are very thankful for that. No missionary is ever effective because of the giftings that they have alone. No missionary, whether they have 110% energy, 110% ability, is ever effective based on those alone. But it's always true that with the church, missionaries are only as effective as those praying bodies that are with them in spirit doing the work together. And so that's a great example of how the church, though it goes into different corners of society, different pockets of society, all of our effectiveness is not just based on what we are, what we do, but it's on the church body that is together in it wherever we are, even though not everybody is going to there where we are. But through prayer, we can be engaging in everybody's life and seeing that God's kingdom is expanding. And that's actually what I'm going to speak about today. So let's pray and ask that Lord speaks to our hearts and really brings those things that he wants to have resonate in our hearts this morning. Jesus, thank you that you are with us. We thank you that your word continues to speak with us, speak to us, change us, mold us, bring us towards that character, towards those values that you portrayed in your life here. And Lord, we just pray that what you want to speak into our hearts today, that that would come clearly, and we could leave here knowing that you have spoken to each and every one of us. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing net into the water, for they were fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." This text came to me about a week and a half ago, and I was actually supposed to preach in Kyoto today, and I was looking at that kind of sermon prep for that. But the thing that really came to my mind when I was thinking about this verse was fish. Fish that live in the water, in their own element, in that which they've always known, grown accustomed to, are comfortable with, know how to maneuver, where to find what they need, how to deal with whatever's going on. It all takes place underwater. And that's one picture that I want to leave with you today is when Jesus says, "I will make you fishers of men," the analogy that I came up with was God calls people, those fish, out of the water, out of that natural habitat that they're used to, that they're accustomed to, that they've been raised in, that they've grown up in, the society, all of that. To live for Christ is to come out of the water, come out of your natural element that society displays, and to live something that is beyond that. We're called out of our natural element, and believing in Jesus and beginning to live for him is stepping out of the surroundings, ways of doing, acting, and reacting that are familiar to us. That which has been familiar is not only because of our own experience, but also because of those around us that we have seen, heard, and understood. So you think of our life before Christ and what it's based on and how we grow accustomed to the different routines in our life, how we act and react in situations. It's all custom fit based on our experiences and that which we've seen and heard. And maybe the main message that I want to leave with us today is, how are we perceived as different from those who don't know Christ? From those who don't have the Holy Spirit in their life? So that verse that I read was from Mark chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. But the main verse that I want to leave with you, there's two verses, but one which is so familiar to us Pentecostals, and it's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And Jesus says to the disciples, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I had a teacher in high school, Mr. Pentland, and he taught English, all kinds of things regarding English. We read books and whatnot. And he liked me, but he also knew that I was a slacker. And he tried to challenge me, and then I, being the kind of sanguine character that I am, you know, I like to promise things even though I know that it's not going to happen, but I make them feel good in the moment, and that's a very sanguine character, is you promise something even though it won't happen, just because in that moment you want to make people feel good. Anyways, so I'd always say, "Oh, Mr. Pentland, like, you know, I'm going to shape up and I'm going to get things together and this book report is going to be on time and, you know, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah." And the thing that he always said to me was, "Show me, don't tell me. Just show me, don't tell me. You don't need to tell me. I don't need the confirmation from you and, like, making me feel good. If you're going to do something, just do it." And I find that this verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, were to be witnesses. Some years ago, I had this experience where this verse opened up in a new way. And maybe it's opened up to you like this already a long time ago, and this was just a new thing for me, but when it says to be a witness, oftentimes I just thought about me getting power, the Holy Spirit giving me power to have courage to say something to someone at the workplace, when I'm studying at the grocery store. It's having the courage to go, hey, do you know Jesus? Hey, can I pray for you? Hey, what's going on in your life? Did you know Jesus can help you with that? Which is all good. But what I, somehow my eyes were open in a new way when I was thinking about this a couple years ago, was to be a witness. Sure, it's telling, but more than that, it's being something. It's what we are that witnesses to those around us. And in that being, of course, there's the telling. There's those moments where we have occasion to talk about Jesus. But sometimes, as a church, as Christians, we focus more on just, I gotta do and say something. And then when we start talking about how are we being changed so that what change happens in us is being a witness to those around us who are seeing that change. And when you think of it that way, in one sense, going to the grocery store and talking to the grocery clerk and saying John 3:16 to somebody is actually way more easy, although that can be scary, it's way more easy than to actually change towards that which Christ wants us to become. And that leads me to my other verse in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. So the power for us to be a witness, that power produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. How are we growing in these different things in our lives? How is our love growing towards others? How is our patience growing? To be a fish in water is to say, I've been patient long enough. I've suffered this annoying person, and I've been patient, and I've loved on them, and I've been kind, and I've had self-control, I've watched what I've said, but now enough is enough. That's a fish in water. But to come out of that into the new element, into the new way of looking at things, that fish out of water says, last year, I wasn't so patient. Or maybe I was this patient. But this year, with the help of the Holy Spirit, my patience is going to grow. Last year, I had challenges in this area of my life in terms of self-control. But this year, with the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to grow in self-control. It's hard for me to be kind, but I believe that this year I can make even tiny little steps in being kinder to those around me with the help of the Holy Spirit who empowers me. How are we growing in these things? And I'll be the first to admit, failing forward, that's a big thing in my life. I catch myself constantly if you start looking at these different things that we should be, I find myself stumbling. When I know that I should have loved on somebody, or I should have been patient, should have had self-control, I failed. But going back to that failure and going, it doesn't have to end here. I can go back to God. I can return to Him, ask for power so that I can change. Because when we do change, that change is seen by those around us. And when we talk about being a witness, it's that change in us that people are close enough to see that speaks to their lives. I often think of the story of David and Goliath. And we know David, he was this, you know, shepherd boy. He had encountered a bear and a lion, and he had taken them apart with his hands, which is an incredible feat. just sounds crazy. But his dad says, you know, your brothers are on the front line, and they're going up against the Philistines. And bring them some lunch. And he goes, and he hears what Goliath is saying, how he's making fun of the God of the Israelites. And as he starts to ask questions, because he's not satisfied with the situation, his brothers belittle him. He said, you know, get out of here. Like, what's wrong with you? You come here, you're not even a soldier. Like, give us our lunch and leave. Get out of here. But then somebody hears him, that this guy is like, he's got something. And so he's brought before the king, King Saul. And Saul, again, he's like, come on, you're a little lad. Goliath, did you see him out there? Like, he's huge. What are you going to do? You don't even have any kind of sword. You don't have any kind of armor. But the way that David talks, the way that he looks at things, finally King Saul says, okay, well, if you're going to go up against them, you better use what I got, because this is your only chance. And we know the story. He puts on Saul's armor, and it weighs him down, and he takes it off, and he goes, I can't go like this. I know what I can trust. I can trust in God, and I can trust in my sling. And he goes, and he defeats Goliath. The amazing part of this story is that before David can even face the official enemy, he's put down by his family, but he's put down by the highest authority in Israel, the king. But it doesn't make him waver, and he defeats Goliath. And what's profound about this is when you look after him defeating Goliath, he doesn't carry a grudge towards his brothers. He doesn't carry a grudge towards the king. And I come back to this story often because I feel like, especially when people do something towards us that's bad, like I can try to love somebody who's a loving person, right? And I can, it's a lot easier to grow in my love towards somebody who's really loving me back, right? It's really easy to be patient to somebody who doesn't make me grow impatient, right? It's super easy to be kind to somebody who's really kind to me. And, you know, yeah, sure, I can grow in liking Kank more. Guy's a great guy. He's kind, friendly, polite. Yeah, like, let's go out for dinner. Like, I can be more kind to this guy, no problem. But it's those who wound us. Sometimes by accident, they don't mean it, unintentionally. And then other times, intentionally. When it's non-Christians, people who don't believe in Christ, it's maybe easier even to reflect on that and go, okay, well, they don't understand God, and they're not they're not yet a believer and, you know, whatever. And sometimes we can kind of categorize that. But then when it's within the church, when it's a fellow colleague, another Christian serving with you, and they intentionally wound you, and then comes this challenge, be kinder, be more patient, love more, show self-control. It gets tough. And I teach in Bible school somewhat annually, and I love sitting in the classroom and talking with students. And you know, it doesn't matter what the topic is. We can talk about reaching urban youth in the city. We can talk about church and how to grow it. And we can talk about all kinds of things, right? And it's all fun and games in the classroom. And like, even as a student, I remember sitting in Bible school and I'd be like, oh yeah, this is so great. And then you go into like counseling course and then you're like, oh yeah, so when there's difficult situations. And so you just got to do it like this, and 1, 2, 3, boom, 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 and it's done. You know, and it's all like, it's so easy, right? But then when real life hits us and that theoretical person that wounds us, who we talk about here in church, has a face, has a name, has a history, has a certain character who has maybe constantly been something to you, and you've had a growing understanding of the kind of person they are. And then that kind of situation where they wound you, it's very difficult. And I had a situation like this just some time ago. And it was incredibly difficult. It was incredibly difficult to the point where I lost sleep, and I just felt like it was like a cloud over my day. And you go through the motions of, you know, why did this person say something like this and do something like this? And like, you know, you look at your own faults and was I at fault? Did I do something really? And then you go through that. But then once you've gone through that, then you start to say, okay, some of it was like valid and whatnot. But then when you understand that there's like way overshooting and there's like a purposeful wanting to wound you, and then you start going through like, what's going on in this person's life, and why would they do something like this to me? And it's tough, and it hits us in the emotions, and how we deal with that will ultimately decide how we develop in our character. And we know, I'm sure each one of us knows many people who can be quite embittered today, and they didn't start out like that. We can come across a lot of people who are cold today that didn't start out like that, who are cynical and yet didn't start out like that. And so when we face difficulties, we face difficult situations, difficult relationships, difficult people in the long term or in the short term, how we deal with that in here really says how we're going to look in the future. Are we going to have open wounds throughout life? Or will we have scars that speak of past wounds that have been healed, that no longer hurt us? Finally, Jesus, who bled for us, who was wounded for us, but not just for us, but specifically because of us. Like for you and for me, he was wounded. His wounds healed, but he still has the scars. And he's our great example of how to deal with difficulties in our lives and how to grow in our love towards others, in our patience towards others, and all the other fruits of the Spirit, so that all that can be a witness to wherever we are, in the workplace, in the family, amongst relatives, amongst friends. That witness wouldn't only be that, hey, Henry likes to shoot his mouth off. He's always talking about Jesus, talking. He's never showing me what Jesus is like, but he's always telling me what Jesus is like. And if we can grow in our balance of speaking when we need to speak, but especially being that which we need to be, we can see that our witness is more effective. We can see that there's a true change that starts to happen around those people and around those who are in our life. So tonight, today, next week, if we have some wound right now that you can right away go to, like, that person really did something dirty, something bad towards me, Christian or not, and it's still an open wound, then maybe that's something that we can work on this coming week. And really pray about it and go, Holy Spirit, you were promised to me to empower me to change and to deal with even wounds so that they one day can be scars. Maybe that's something we can work on this next week. And if you don't have any specific wound like that at this time, another thing that we can think about this following week is fruit of the Spirit. How am I doing in those? How's it going? Like, really, how's it going? We could write them out and each one in our journal, and we can go, okay, love, where on a scale of 1 to 10 am I in love, in my love spectrum towards others? And especially those who are not so easy. How is my kindness doing? How is my self-control? How is my patience? And we all know those ones that are like the difficult ones for us. And it's because we know them, God knows them, but also we can work on them. Because I believe that my effectiveness in Japan will ultimately be, of course, together with the body of Christ, but how much I'm changing and how much I show of that change that becomes more Christ-like among those people who I'm reaching, right? And it's the same thing for you. How effective we will be in this life in seeing God's kingdom come among those people that we know directly correlates with how much we're willing to change personally, to grow so that they can experience Christ through us. Let's pray.